Well, that's not the two step ahead of me, but let's use that.
You got to be prepared.
I tell you, things change really quick. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, long time, right? It's not just a headache, right, for one day, who has spent all her livelihood on doctor and could not be healed by any came from behind. Didn't matter where she came from. That didn't matter where it came from. What if she would have come beside? What if she would have come in front of him? Didn't matter where she came from. No, didn't matter. I'll explain that in a minute. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped when she touched him. Okay? And Jesus said, who touched me? And everybody said, well, we didn't touch you, Lord. I mean, look at that, all the people here. Somebody touched me. Somebody came and drew from me something that is special. Somebody came. Now, it could be you today coming to him, drawing something from him, and you don't have to touch his robe. You just have to believe that he is. And you know what? That he will recompense you if you do. He's waiting for somebody like this little woman to come and grab his robe in order to receive. And he likes that. Wow, this is cool. You know what I mean? Maybe they didn't use that then, but it's cool. Peter, you know, somebody touched me. And it's the first place in the Bible that is mentioned that somebody didn't ask. Sometime, friend, we're too much in the asking. God, oh, my back is sore. And we concentrate on the right, wrong thing. Because that's what we feel. And people, a lot of time, are moved by more than what they feel than what the Word says. This woman was moved by God's Word, not by what she felt, though she was sick, though she'd been trying to get well for a long time. God is a rewarder or recompense those who seek him. Does God have any favorite? Does God have any favorite? Okay. Paul, I see you at the back. You're hiding there. Could you get me a bottle of water, please? Awesome. I'll give you a candy whenever I have some. Thank you. Does God have any favorite? Come on, think a little bit. Does God have any favorite? No, he's got sons and daughter. And they're sitting here today in this chair. You've got to understand that God doesn't do things for you because he loves you more than he loves somebody else. That doesn't do that. You know, you don't have any favorite kid. Thank you. God, and you know what? That's one thing that would blow our faith level. Thinking that God loves Ron more than he loves. I forgot your name. What's your name again?
If I tell you, then you'll know.
Okay, Larry. But for each one of them, if he thinks God loves Larry more, and that will affect him. It'll affect him because when he goes to him, God, you love Larry more than me. You're a complainer, right? You're not coming to him just believing that he is and that he loves you. And he's done everything for you. And he wants to reward you. Not doesn't want to reward just Larry. He wants to reward you. He wants to reward you because you're seeking after him. And that's in his word. Now, when that lady came to Jesus, that verse was not written yet. It got written 30 years later. But she still operated in that verse because she believed he was the Messiah, and she believed that The minute she would touch him, she would receive healing. And we're going to go and explain that in a few minutes. Okay. Now, those are the things sometimes we say, well, you know, it's not God's will to heal me. Now, we're talking about faith. You can have faith in healing, faith in, you know, that God will meet your need. So many areas in your life, you know, the believer will live by faith. Or man shall live by faith. Not true? A lot of people die just for that statement. It's not my timing. Well, you know, when God wants to heal me, he's going to heal me whenever he wants. Baloney. This is all man's statement. Man's statement, this is what I think, this is what I heard, this is what I feel. But we don't go in God's word and says, whoever he is, if I believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, he will reward them. No, it's more God's word. You know, society is changing. The way we do things is changing. Communication is changing. Lifestyle is changing. But God's word does not change. It's in heaven and it's in your Bible and it does not change. You can always go back there and find the answer. Well, you don't know. I got prayed for the best. How many heard that? Somebody has a ministry of healing, prayed for you, and you know what I mean? What makes you think little pastor will pray for you and you may be healed? I mean, little kids can pray for you. You're going to be healed. Nobody can pray for you and you can be healed. It's not about who. And you know, we have mindset that destroy the word of God rather than say, yes, Lord. I went up for healing for this thing for 3 times and I never got it. Well, I guess God doesn't want me. Not about that. And it's not about condemnation, about if you get it or not. It's just a lifestyle. This is who I want to live like. This is what I want to happen. And it becomes the way I think. I want to change your thinking. I want to change my thinking according to God's word. You know, I always say there's no difference between salvation or healing. Both are acquired the same. You go for Jesus, you know what I mean? And you say, how many ever heard that statement? And I didn't know so much why until I began to study this verse. A new believer. Seems like a new believer gets more from God. Can you put those words, Hebrews 11:6 on it again? How many ever heard that? The new believer gets more from it. It's more easy to receive. But as you get older, it's get harder to receive from God. How many ever heard that? Or you think that way. And you say, well, what, you know, you're just a little baby. You know, you take care of the little baby. You do more. You got to change his diaper and all that stuff. And all that stuff. It's not. You know why? Because a new believer believed that he is. For something happened to their life, and that's all they do. They're talking about him, Jesus. You were there at one time. All you were talking to your neighbor or your family, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Right? Half of our family ran away. We were talking about Jesus as a new believer. And the next thing is, we said, wow, he done so much. He takes care of our finance, and he takes care of our kids. He takes care of our healing. You know, we're talking this way. So what we are saying is, he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. A new Christian will be a little more mouthy about their faith. Sometimes it's bad, but sometimes it's good. And that's the difference. The old Christian will settle. Well, let's not make any wave. If I mention the name of Jesus, somebody might get upset. All I'm saying is, we don't want to do that. Christ has to be so real in our life that the first step is there. I believe. I believe he's here today. I believe that there's nothing is impossible to God today. He is. And he can do more than you can think. There's no limit with him. We are the limit. This mind of ours, sometimes goes off. And you got to pull it back and pull it back. Okay, I better keep moving here. I got a lot. I got too much to give you, but I'll just do this concept today. You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those. Okay, let's go on. So we read the text in Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. And I mentioned she didn't ask. I did that, so okay. Okay, let's go on. Last week, Pastor Travis taught about, I think it's you, about the garment. In the Old Testament, it meant a lot, the garment. Was it you or was Pastor Don? Yes. And you know what? And you know, I made the comment on this garment today. They never even thought of it. We dress anyway, basically, as long as we got clothes on, right? We dress like cowboy. You just need a horse there, Larry. we dress white tie, and we don't have any here. No? Okay. And you know, we don't think much about it, but in the Old Testament, it was a bit different. And I want to bring that today to prove to you that this woman was walking according to Hebrews 11:6. Where the Hebrews 11:6 is? Okay. Okay. Leave that one there unless we ask for a change. How's that? This woman was asking God for something. Okay, are you ready? Let's go. So you answered that already. What did the woman was heading for? What was it? Why the M, do you think? No? Okay. So let's go in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. Can we go there? Okay. Now this is what God was saying to the Israeli. You shall make tassel. You know what a tassel is? Okay. And if you know a little bit about the Hebrew, they have, what do you put on your head to pray? It's a talat? Talit? Talit? Okay, a talit is like you put that on your head and it's like you're in your closet. And on your talit, there's a little tassel. Very important. You know what a tassel is? When somebody braids your daughter's hair, you know, you're braiding, you're making a tassel. So God said, okay, in the four corner of your clothing, because Jesus was wearing a kind of a, not a dress, but what do you call that? Garment, long garment. Now you have to remember that his garment was made out of one piece. How many know that? Scripture tells us at the cross that the soldier who dies for his garment, plural. So he had undergarment and he had over top a garment. And it says even that they didn't want to tear it because it was made of one piece. Knowing the soldier, they were low wage people, that they would take it, throw dice for it, and sell it back to a Jew. Jew would have liked to, because this is the style of the day. And it says here, he says, on the four corner of the clothing which you cover yourself, okay, you shall make, so, four tassel at the four corner of the, what do you call it again? Garment. That's why I say it didn't matter which angle she came. She was not going for the hem. She was going for the tassel. And you know what? She was at the back. She found one there, and she got a hold of him. Okay? Let's go to another scripture. Number 15, 38, 39, 40. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassel on the corner of their garment throughout their generation, not just in the Old Testament, and put on a blue thread in the tassel of the corner, and you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the idolatry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy for your God. Now, that's not just Old Testament. One day I was in Toronto, and I went in the washroom, and there was a Jewish guy over there, and he took his coat off, and he had a garment that he had rolled up right up to here, and he had put his coat over it, closed his coat, and it had tassel around it. So this is normal for a Jewish person. Now listen, what I'm telling you about Jewish people, don't leave this place, try to be a Jew. You are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. I'm explaining that so you understand faith. Okay, so this man, I looked at him, I said, he could have just dropped this thing and he would have had a nice skirt. And I saw the tassel there. There was one blue thread and there was a few more tassel on it. And it all has meaning for him. Because that's what, he's still a Jewish man. He's still practicing his religion, basically, and he's still doing it. So in those days, Jesus had this robe or this garment with four tassel, and he was going around, right? The priest had the same thing. The king had the same thing. Let's go on here. He said, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassel. It's not just the priest. See, you could tell a lot by their robe, who they were. Because the king has a certain robe, the Jewish king had the tassel too, everything. The prophet had the same thing. The high priest had even better, because all the tassel was connected at the bottom, and there was a one blue thread that would go here, one blue thread that would go there, one blue thread that would go back, four blue threads, which was weeded or braided. And this, what they did, that's what they wore. To this day, you know, they will wear that in the office. You don't even know because it's a light thing and they just roll it under their shirt, whatever. They're just, that's what they do, you know. So number, did we read number? Yes, we read number. Okay. So the priest wear a seamless garment. The king wear a garment. And anybody else wear that garment. It's just, it had more tassel, or it had more class, had more the embroidery in it. And I believe that the garment that Jesus wore was a beautiful garment. Remember, Jesus walked around with man and woman. And the woman were there. Jesus, if you're going to walk, we're going to walk with you. We better dress you up. Isn't that what the wife says? If you're going to walk. And I'm sure they got a nice garment. Not over nice, but nice garment for Jesus. A one-piece garment with the tassel on. Because Jesus is a holy man. He walked with God. He was the Son of God. He respected all the commandments. So for him to wear it, it was like, Jesus is the man. And he talked about the Pharisee, and he said about the Pharisee, he said, you make embroidery with your clothes, and you put a lot of tassel in it, because you just want to look more better than any other man. It's in Matthew, I forget which verse, because he tell that to the Jew. Because, you know, they were looking at the robe, at the garment, and they weren't looking at the heart anymore. Okay. Now, We got 10, 15 minutes here. Passover represents the commandment of God, holiness, the blue thread, only four blue thread. It represents a royalty, you know, to a king. And you know, God has made his people kings. He made us kings and priests, but his people were kings. And Jesus was not of the line of the priesthood. How many believe that? He was in the line of Judah. Now, all the priests were of the line of Levite. And what about John the Baptist? What tribe was he of? His father was in the temple. Levite. You know what I mean? So he was allowed to wear the priestly garment. Jesus wasn't allowed, but he was wearing the common garment of the day. Let me explain a little bit more about the tassel. 1 John 15:27, which says, 1 John 15:27. I'll get there. Did I say John? No, it's 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. You're John, right? Yeah. You Samuel? No, okay. Okay, as Samuel turned, remember the story? As Samuel turned around to go away, that's when Saul didn't kill the beast and they took the king and all that stuff and he made a mess, right? Saul sees the edge of his robe, which is the tassel that he wear. You can't tear a robe in pieces. Okay? And he tore. So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor whom is better than you are." So what happened? Because he turned away and he walked away and he told him, that's it. He jumped on the prophet to his feet and then tore. You could tear those if you pull really hard. Tear the tassel, the edge of his garment. They call it in the Hebrew, tetzit, whatever. So, okay, let's go to the next. I just want to understand that it's in the Bible. It's everywhere. Now, the next one is 1 Samuel 24, verse 11. And you know, this is when David went in the cave and he cut a piece of Saul's robe. What did he cut off? He cut off the edge, the piece that comes out. You can't just go there and I don't think he had scissors in the wilderness or whatever. Just cut it with his knife and he walked away, okay? And he cut the corner of your robe. And I did not kill you. No one see that there is neither evil or rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt me, you know. So that's what he did. He just cut it, the piece. And if you see, look at 1 Samuel 24, verse 20, which says, "And now I know," Saul said that, "indeed, that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand." See, the kingdom was torn to the prophet and to David. The two-step, what happened is basically now the kingdom. And Saul knew. He said, "Well, I know you're going to be king, but when you're king, remember my kids. Don't kill my kids and whatever. Take care of them." There you go again about the tassel. Now, let's go on. Now, we could go into a little deeper. Remember Ruth? She laid at the feet of Boaz. And what did she do? She covered herself with the end of his robe. Meaning, you know, you are a man of God. You respect the commandment of God. You are a holy man. Take care of me. She didn't uncover everything. She just took the last part. But we're not going to go there. Too many things. Okay. So Matthew 9, verse 20. That's the other. There's three places in the Bible that we talked about the woman with an issue of blood. One says she touched the hem of his garment, and the other she touched. I forget what. Huh? No. She touched the end or the. Huh? The hem. Well, yeah, well, the hem is there. But there's another way, another gospel says another word, I think it's the fringe of his garment or something. So the both gospel are not saying the same. But it's really the fringe. It's really the tassel. It was so important then. I'll just explain why. Matthew 14, 36. Matthew 14. And Jesus was doing ministry. And he said, people came and he begged him that they might only touch the hem, the tassel of his garment. Okay? And as many as touched it were made perfectly whole. What do you see there? People came to him so they could touch the tassel of his garment. Mark 6, 56. Wherever he entered into village, city, and the country, they laid a sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem. That's the tassel. It's the what do you call it again? Tassel of his garment. As many as touch him were made well. So you can see as many as touched that thing that Jesus was wearing was made well. So for the lady to come and to walk behind and hit herself and touch it, she had to believe that there was power in that tassel. And it's in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You can see wherever. I mean, today we don't have a tassel. The only tassel that I have is a blue tassel coming out of my Bible here. And if you come here and you touch it, you will be healed. Not really. Not really. Okay, sorry, I would like it to be that way. But it's not going to be that way. Okay. Let's look at the prophecy. Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is tristess, as when the first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppress her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentile, that the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Now what he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus coming as the Messiah and walking in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, close to Galilee. Now, when that woman came, she touched the hem of his garment. She was in Galilee. He had just come out of casting out the swine, and the swine all died. Then he came back to Galilee, and that's when... See, because Jesus is light. Jesus is light. We can live in darkness if we want, but the minute you come to him and you believe that he is, then you're stepping into the light of God. That's why it's so easy to receive. That's why it's so easy. So that was a prophecy by Isaiah, which is said again in Matthew 4, 13, 14. Okay. That's in the New Testament. And leaving Nazareth, Galilee, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That is, might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of, and the land of, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people sat in darkness, have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of shadow of death, light has dawned. You know, the prophecy that Isaiah prophesied, it's repeated in the New Testament saying there's going to be a light coming. And the Jew knew that the Messiah was going to come in Galilee. That he was going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew everything because the word of God is true. All we do is kind of tying up some scripture here to just show you that everything we're living today, we're living the word of yesterday. Prophecy fulfilled when Jesus came on the scene. Prophecy fulfilled when he walked the shore. Prophecy fulfilled when he died on the cross. And it's all in the Old Testament. And it's all prophesied. So there we see now I'm just got a couple more scriptures. Okay. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah. Remember that? The prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Who is he talking about? Talking about John the Baptist. Because the Jew knew that Elijah had to come before the Messiah. Didn't he? So he's talking right now about John the Baptist. Okay. Now let's go to Malachi 4:2. See, God must be French because he put things backward all the time. If I would have wrote the word Malachi chapter 4, I would have talked about John the Baptist first and then talk about Jesus after. Or some of you probably will. Maybe I wouldn't, but probably some of you, because you do things in order. We do things in time. But God writes his book, and it's all over the place. You pick from here. This goes there. This goes there. Ooh, it's like a puzzle. Every page is a puzzle. Page 1 goes with page 17, and 17 goes with 56. It's just all over the place. God, why do you do that for? But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wing. Now look at Son. Is he talking about the Son of God? The word Son means great light. If you talk to anybody, what's the biggest great light in the world? The Son. The Son of Righteousness means a light that is righteous. A light that is holy, a light that is awesome, will arise in a time when you don't know, but will arise with healing in his wing. Now, the word wings mean tassel. That's a thing that goes at the end of the robe. So the little lady with an issue of blood knew that, you know what, they go to the synagogue, they hear the book of Isaiah. They hear the book of Malachi. Malachi? Oh, that's the last book we got. After that book, 400 years of nothing. But what does Malachi say? It says that there's going to be Elijah coming, and then after that, there's going to be a man that comes, which is like the Son of God, which is righteous, and he has healing in his robe, in his tassel, because it's prophesy. So when the lady came, when the people came to see him, said, Master, can we just touch it? Because they understood that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, who go after him. You know, the word of God is pretty clear. Sometimes we don't understand it, and we just think, because we think like American, we think like Canadian, we don't think like Jewish people. And but even the Jewish people didn't see it. Didn't see that, you know, whoever went after God, whoever went after the light that came in, the great light, received healing. So that's why it's so easy for people to receive healing, and for some others it's so hard. Because the two steps that we're supposed to do, we do it, we have a, what do you call that? It's a mindset of, if I do that, I'll get this. If I do that, I'll get some more. What is that? No, it's I know the word, it's the big word, so. No, it's a mindset, okay? Performance, based on performance. You heal. if you pray. You heal if you seek God and you read your Bible. You heal if you do a good deed or you do this, but if you don't, it's cut off. Has nothing to do with performance. Has to do with the Son of Righteousness. Has to do with the light that God has sent us. Has to do that when we step into that place, now we can't touch his tassel anymore, but we can touch him. And it's better than before. Because before, if Jesus wasn't around, you didn't get nothing. But now, he is around. And all you have to do is step into that place. Say, God, I believe. Today, I stir my faith towards you. I believe that you are. And Lord, as I come before you, you will meet my need. Same principle as the lady who had an issue of blood. She had a path to follow. She believed a certain way, and she got what she wanted. Amen? Amen? Now, never forget that you can't get any closer than God. You know, Paul says, the Word of God, to be saved, you just have to, it's in your mouth. You just got to confess and believe it in your heart. Two step. Confess and believe. God is simple. If he would have given you three step, we all would have messed it. But if you go, well, if I give you only two step, you might make it. All right. I'm going to ask the worship team, and we're going to close because I know the kids are upstairs. When you see the thing moving like that, it's because the kids are. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to stand up. And we're going to do the last song. How's that? Okay. Okay. How many understand the message? Is it clear? All right. How many are going to turn Jew tomorrow? No, don't go there. If you go there, you're going to be led astray. Paul said many as follow and made shipwreck in their faith because they started to go to the commandment and they started to go to the feast and they started to go and wear the clothes and they started to do this and you miss God altogether. We're Gentile. And you know, some of you are maybe looking in your family tree to see if there's a Jew there. They could be. But we're Gentile, saved by faith. That's who we are. And you know what? The reward we're going to get by God, it will be the same thing. It has to come by faith. And you know what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to come at the front. We're going to do that last song. What is it anyway? I thought it was nice. I need you more. Okay? And as you come over here, between you and God, you don't have to touch the tassel of my Bible. You don't have to think, you don't have to blow a shofar. It doesn't matter. It's just between you and God. Did I scare you? Did I scare you, Larry? thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead.
I need you more.
So I'm going to ask you to come at the front.
Oh, more than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more.
I need you more.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
It's between between you and God.
More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side. And I never want to go back to my old life, for I need you more. Oh, more than yesterday, I need you more, so much more.
I'm close to you, oh God.
More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Listen, this is what we're going to do. If you have any children, I will ask you just to go get them, so that the teacher survived the church. So just go up there and get them. The rest of you stay here, you at the front. Listen, with God doesn't matter if you stop and laugh, if you stop and cry, it doesn't matter. It doesn't go away, you just get connected right back. Okay, we're gonna do it again.
Yes,
let's do it again.
You more. I need you more, Jesus. Oh, more than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Yes, more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, oh, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. Before, I need you more than yesterday. I need you more, so much more than words can say. I need you more, oh Jesus, than ever before. I need you more.
Truly believe that we need it more, but how many knows the first step? Tell me. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I cannot hear you. That he is. What's the second step? He will bless you. Whatever you need, he will reward you. Not based on what you accomplished, but based on believing in Him. And I know today there's someone that's not saved in this room, and you know what? You have to do the same thing. You just have to believe that He is, that Jesus is your Lord, and that He will come in your life. He will reward you. That's all we have to do. It doesn't change. It's the same formula for everything. Yes, Lord. I want you to take that home. When you go in your closet, think about that. Think about God's step for you and get there. Yes, Lord. You are His children. Awesome. If you want someone to pray for you, you can just step ahead. How about stepping on the carpet? Right.
I just wanted to share as well. I think understanding Old Testament, when they saw the tassel represented the authority of the man. It actually represented the anointing. And so as you, New Testament application of that is when you put your faith in the anointing, you put your faith in, I'm going to touch the anointing. I'm going to touch God's power that's made available for me in this situation. That's what you're doing. Typically when you say, God, I'm not going to let go. I'm holding on until you bless me. And you have that aggressiveness that I'm going to take everything you have. That's like you're touching the hem of his garment. You're touching the authority of Jesus. You're touching the anointing. Amen. So in your minds, just right now, those of you who have stepped forward, just shut your eyes, get alone with God. And just, God, I'm believing that your anointing is enough. What I'm believing for right now. And we're going to lay hands on you. When we lay hands on you, it's going to be the anointing that's going to bring whatever you're believing God for. Amen? You don't even have to tell us. We're just going to, as a symbol of faith, we're just going to lay hands on you, and the anointing of God will do it.
I couldn't have said it any better. Awesome. Before we just pray for you, I just promised somebody that we're going to pray for Dallas' father. This is Crystal, our drummer. No, Crystal. Yeah, and her father-in-law went into a cardiac arrest and all that. So let's pray for him right now, and then we're going to minister to you, okay? Father, we lift up Dallas's dad, father, and Lord, wherever he is now, steady or not steady, Lord, we speak steadiness in his life, Lord. We speak to his heart, and we just command the machine to begin to work on his own, Father. And Lord, that they would know that Sunday by 1 o'clock, Father, 12 o'clock, something will happen. And it's the hand of God, Father, that touches life, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we do not limit you, but Father, we trust you in every one of our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give you the highest.
The rest of you, if you want to go for coffee, you can go. And those who want to get ministry, you stay here.
We give